DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
All right, I'm kicking it off. Okay, cool.
Don't fuck it up.
No pressure.
Bring the rain, Samantha. Show the pressure.
James, are we recording ourselves or are we good?
We're good, so go for it.
Hey, this is Samantha. Welcome to Not Another Podcast.
I'm Jim. I'm Bryce.
I'm Dan.
And I'm James. I really wish we were all in the same room because you would have seen me and Dan just look at each other like, are you going to go?
Nope.
I think you should go.
I looked at the invisible people in the room with me.
Mm-hmm.
No real better way to start a show than with an ass-grinding halt.
What's really good is I could feel Bryce roll his eyes.
Yeah, jeez. So, hi.
Hi, guys.
Hi, everyone.
To another show.
Samantha has something she wants to discuss.
Yes.
So, as a bunch of white people...
we're obviously the experts on whatever.
Off white, thank you.
I like to think of myself as devilishly tan.
Beige-ish.
Beige, yeah.
I'm
a very peach. But yeah, okay.
According to cosmetics labels, I am ivory beige. So
That's a good word name.
That sounds exotic.
That's a great, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes. When my illustrious career takes off, that'll change my name.
Main stage, it's ivory beige. Ship, but don't touch. The more greenery, the more scenery.
Nice.
Step up the snippers row. Get real close.
Okay. So, the one thing that I noticed, I was watching Last Week Tonight with John Oliver because he's brilliant and awesome. And
also white.
Has white bread.
But he
doesn't get much whiter than that.
He had a segment. He's also part bird. I mean, you know, he's acknowledged that himself. So he had a segment for St. Paddy's Day about, I can't remember the exact name of what it was called, but it was about news anchors looking like idiots on TV. And it was basically
the Irish one.
Oh, yeah.
A compilation of people...
just being stupid.
Basically, with what is exactly the definition of racial stereotyping. So, it's really super culturally insensitive, but it's something that, you know, I've never thought about before. We've all participated in, and we're all like, okay, but in this heightened awareness of this level, this sort of insensitivity, it's fine to do it as long as you're making fun of a white person.
Yeah, we're like the last race that can still be openly mocked, and it's considered okay.
Yeah, it's unanimously okay.
Yeah, and that it isn't. And one thing, like, there's I don't wear green on St. Paddy's Day because my family came from the orange side. You know, so I'm like, do people even know what the flag stands for, or that there's green Irish and orange Irish? No. So, at least everyone
they hate each other.
Did not
they
know
hate
that.
Each other.
Yeah. Everyone, they did. Well, that the white means peace. So, when they came together, but you know, so I come from, you know, the orange side, and I'm like, okay, well, everyone I've asked had no idea that that's what that even meant, but it's okay to mock and to make fun of their drinking because that is a stereotype. It's okay to mock as long as you're mocking a white person. And disgust.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead there, Big Jim.
Well, here's my point. Equality is equality.
Don't stumble over each other.
Will the senator yield?
Yes, I will. Jim, by all means, you have the floor. Right,
the floor is...
The senator from Pennsylvania.
Please don't lump me with these Martians. But no, I would say, I think Louis C.K. put it pretty well when he said about how, he's like, you know, there isn't even like a really good slang term for white. I mean, there's like all kinds of horrible names for every other nationality. What do we got? We got cracker and honky, and that's about it. And I don't even really know the origin for those. And it's like, he's like, you can't even hurt my feelings.
I know the origin of cracker.
Is it because of the sleighs? And the whip?
The sound of the whip, yeah.
Oh, well, shit, then maybe I should be a little offended when I get called a cracker. I'd be like, look, man, I would not be that guy, all right? I'd be the cool guy, you know, hanging out, sneaking out.
You pay your sleighs fairly.
Maybe... Oh. Maybe we take off the ER at the end and put an A and make it cracka, and then it's R word.
Taking it back. You don't get to use that word.
That's
R word.
That's R word?
We call it a cricker.
Then when we greet each other and when we're talking,
what's up,
I was talking to that cracker the other day, and that cracka ass man. Yeah? No?
No.
Also, they get racially insensitive. And that's the thing is, I've never been a, as they call it now, a snowflake. But it's all about equality. And the same is said for, the same can be done for sexism and all that fun stuff, is you have to treat everyone equally. You know, you don't get to put down one race just because you feel that they've had more privilege than you. If we're talking about equality, it has to be across the board.
I would agree.
So,
I'm
sorry, Jim. Let me just ask this because I feel like I'm missing the point. Is it you want equality so you can make fun of anyone you want?
Yes.
Good point.
Yes.
No.
Without sort of any sort of like reprisal of like, oh, you can't say that because they're whatever.
No, I think what she's looking for is more a broader spectrum of, you know, it's okay to make fun of other people if one is making fun of it, but at the same time, what she's talking about is, you know, white people have feelings too, even though most of, you know, the higher end of them are somewhat soulless. But nonetheless, well, it's, you know, that's kind of what I think she's coming from, is it's like, it's not okay to stereotype Irish people, especially around St. Patrick's Day, because although St. Patrick was of the green, which is one of the main reasons why the green is so popular on St. Patrick's Day, it is also a celebration of Ireland, which, again, your point is very, very valid, and to use a broad general statement to say that everyone from Ireland is a raging alcoholic.
Well, then let me ask this.
You know
Since
what
we're
I mean.
Talking about equality, why is it we only celebrate St. Patrick's Day or
Grandfather
Cinco
Dan.
De Mayo?
It's grandfathered in.
Why don't we have a holiday for Japanese, Chinese, Korean, Vietnamese, Russian, Czechoslovakian, and you get where I'm going.
Yeah, I see where you're
going.
Why
is it we only celebrate...
There's holidays for everything, and it's your choice if you celebrate it or not. But what I'm getting at is the mass celebration, because it happens to Cinco de Mayo, too, and it's just as unfair.
Right.
But it's okay for them to be... It's okay for Hispanic heritage... to be offended, but it's not okay for someone of an Irish heritage to be offended when someone talks to me like they just came out of a Lucky Charms commercial.
Fair enough. And the thing, I want to come back to that, but if I may make a point to what James was talking about, one of the main reasons why those are more than likely, I don't know this for a fact, but I would, if I was to hazard a guess, is because they're Christian holidays. St. Patrick was a Catholic. Cinco de Mayo, it comes from Mexico, which is very predominantly Catholic.
Yeah, but it's not a religious holiday.
And then,
it's the celebration of Mexican independence.
Right, but that's one of the reasons why. Well, 4th of July is kind of an obvious reason as why we celebrate it here. You won't see people really celebrating 4th of July anywhere else.
No, I know.
Not that I'm aware of. But,
that's my question. Why is it that Americans have taken what should be a, well, just a Mexican holiday. Mm-hmm. Mexico doesn't celebrate 4th of July for America. They're not celebrating our independence. So why are we celebrating Mexican independence in this country? Basically, what it comes down to is it's an excuse to drink. St. Patrick's is an excuse to drink. Irish are drunks. Sorry for the stereotype, but I mean that's the stereotype. It's here's my pass to get blind stinking drunk.
Well,
in March.
For me personally, I never needed an excuse.
Well, anyone who's anyone
if,
who's
if you're waiting for a holiday to be
you're
drunk,
doing it wrong.
Yes, one, you're doing it wrong, and two, there's a certain phrase. You're not lightweight. What's the one? You're
an asshole.
Amateur hour. Amateur hour.
Yes,
right. Yes.
You're an amateur. That's what it
but
is.
But also more so than that, I mean, one of the other reasons why we wouldn't celebrate something from Russia or Japan or China or India or any of these other places that have all these wonderful celebrations, we're attached to Mexico. And Mexico has constantly been, and let's be fair, for a long, long time period, Mexico had half of what we call the United States under their belt. So technically speaking, we're kind of on Mexican soil once you get to a certain point on our map. Would be one of the reasons, again, I would validate why we do celebrate Cinco de Mayo in the respects that they were celebrating it here before here was the USA. That would be my only thing, but I don't know that to be a fact. It's just
that argument doesn't hold weight. It doesn't hold water.
Well, I'm trying to find a rational reason as to why we
would celebrate
it. But
there's not. It simply comes down to it's a big drinking holiday.
To be fair, I never really drank on Cinco de Mayo.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying nationally. Stop taking it personally, Dan.
Well, no. What I'm saying though is it's like the celebration that's downtown, for instance, for Cinco de Mayo. I mean, I've gone down there a number of years just because, A, I love the rides and I love all the food because the food is delicious. And most of the time, you don't see a large-scale amount of people hanging out at the bar. You see them in the dance hall watching the performers or, you know, enjoying the carnival for what it is. St. Patrick's Day, on the other hand, Kells and Patty's are chock-a-block of people getting fucking shit-faced. So I would say that there's a very strong difference between the two, although I am not tickled by the notion that St. Patrick's Day is, as you say, basically an excuse to drink. I don't know that I would bunk it in with Cinco de Mayo. And again, St. Patrick's Day being Catholic, it's just kind of makes sense why it's celebrated, albeit not widely, but still. That's kind of where I'm coming from with it. It's like a lot of the time Cinco de Mayo is, you know, you get a lot of group of people nationalized on that day, so it's a big high to do for them. Again, it's their opportunity to show off their national pride, even though they're not in their country, technically.
Which takes me back to why are we not doing it for other cultures and nationalities?
Maybe just people didn't get enough, you know, steam under their boat to say, well, this is something we want the city to recognize as a celebration. I mean, none of us get St. Patrick's Day off or Cinco de Mayo off, but we get Christmas off, we get Thanksgiving off, hell, we get 4th of July off. But why Christmas? That didn't start here. That was a German tradition.
And that's also a pagan holiday that was kidnapped by Christians.
But as we celebrate it today, it was very German. Very, very German. The whole Christmas tree thing was from Germany. And it didn't become cool or acceptable until Queen Victoria decided to do it in the palace. Mm-hmm. And then, so English basically built the Christmas that we do. Thanksgiving, definitely ours. You know, chuck one up for us. 4th of July, definitely ours. Memorial Day, Veterans Day, okay, those kind of make sense, but only get
They're
one of them off.
They're also ours.
Exactly. But at the same time,
President's Day.
Yeah, exactly. President's Day, these are ours. But the very few that we celebrate that genuinely do not belong to the country, Christmas, St. Patrick's Day, Cinco de Mayo.
But Christmas is one that's celebrated worldwide.
True.
So
on St. Patrick's Day, as far as I know.
St. Patrick's Day was first celebrated in 1762. Now, I would...
Thank you, Wikipedia.
Jim just knows that.
Click on the link. the point I'm trying to make, though, is I can guarantee you dollars to donuts that the 1762 celebration would look nothing like the one that we celebrate here today.
Oh, no.
You know, not by any stretch. So it had to have been like a commercialization of a holiday that someone was just like, well, you know, Irish are predominantly Catholic, which I think it goes back even farther than the Irish. It goes back to Catholicism.
Oh, yeah.
That they are the reason why they're like, well, we're going to get shithouse on this holiday to say, well, we're celebrating St. Patrick. Like, he didn't, like, drink the snakes out of fucking Ireland. He didn't even, you know, he didn't even taste snakes out of fucking Ireland. You know, he was a fucking martyr that, you know, that went down. He is a legitimate saint.
Right.
But somewhere along the line, someone was just like, you know, how can we make money on this holiday? I know, we'll sell a bunch of green stickers and hats and t-shirts and green beards.
On beards and...
Yeah, yeah, and all kinds of weird shit. Like, well, I spent my St. Patty's in Philly, and I saw some stuff there that I had never seen before, including some really hilariously bad news anchors covering the parade. This one guy dressed in a green suit that had, like, shamrocks all over it, and he's running around like he's... Remember that commercial for that guy that had that book? He's like, you know, it's government money. It's free. Just you buy my book. And yeah. Find out how...
The fucking question mark man. The colorful yeah. Riddler.
The funny thing is, Jim, is that guy just wears that suit on the reg. It just happened to be coincidental that he pulled it out.
Yeah. He's running around. He's interviewing people and asking, like, the dumbest fucking questions I've ever heard. You know, and just, like, I could see the people that were there to watch... Because the parade itself had a lot of beautiful pageantry with, like, traditional dances, you know, a lot of cute little... There was this one where the camera's panning through and watching this group from some dance hall or whatever. All these little...
Oh.
Hello?
I think we lost Jim.
Jim?
Gene?
Jim?
Jim?
Yeah. I'm here.
Oh, okay.
And then you cut out.
You just decided to stop speaking.
No, my phone started to ring. Someone was calling me, and I had to end the call real quick.
Jerk.
Anyway, so what I was starting to say is there's all these girls. They're dancing. It's really adorable. And then one of the people standing there, one of the parents, they lost one of their, like, toddlers, and she just comes running out into the field, and the camera catches her, and she's dancing like kind of just like a little toddler dance with, like, no real rhyme or reason to it. And she's got a big smile on her face. She's having a good time. So then the mom comes in, embarrassed, and grabs her daughter and is trying to, like, you know, walk her back to the regular area. And, the kid can't keep up with the mom, so the kid just wipes out, takes a face plant on the street.
Aww.
The kid looked like she was drunk, like, ah, man, she's been drinking all day. We've got to get her out of here. You know, but again, Cinco de Mayo, same
fucking
thing.
2 years old, still can't hold her liquor. God damn it.
Fucking
she's toddlers, man. Can't hold her booze.
Well, and also, these
fucking amateurs.
These celebrations, like you're saying, James, they come in waves. You know, Cinco de Mayo, even just a couple years ago, was not as widely celebrated as it is now.
Exactly, and that I was going to make that point also, when Danny was talking about the fairs and stuff.
But the one that's coming up now that a lot of people are starting to celebrate it, for no other rhyme or reason, is Chinese New Year.
Well,
yeah.
It's celebrated all over the place, and that's becoming very big as well. But that's... We've also completely derailed from the point.
Right.
Yeah. I was going to say, for Chinese New Year, we can all get shit-faced on sake and wear karate geese.
That's Japanese, like,
Jim. Yeah, that's Japanese, you fucking cultural...
You jerk!
Imbecile.
It's America, bro. We're in America, so we're going to take a little stereotype that we know about something that might be Chinese. I'm sure there's a couple guys that fight over there. You know? You know, get some, like, monk gear on or whatever. Or, like, we could dress up like the Yakuza, which is, I guess, also Japanese. Either way.
Jeez, bro. Triads. Triads.
Try something. Plum try get something.
Fuck,
right,
dude.
Man.
Well, it boils down to this. Sooner or later, it's going to come down to someone's going to find a way to commercialize it, make money off of it, and people, you know, will be like, well, what better way to celebrate than to drink whatever drink is most popular with that? So... Russia will have a holiday where we put, like, fezes on and bottles on our heads, and we do, like, the weird, like, kick dance and everything else, like, we're in, like, fucking dragnet, we're doing, like, pagan, you know, wearing, like, sheepskins and whatnot, and then, you know, pick another country and just find whatever,
No, Jim's right, even though he's, like, completely lost in his own analogy. He's right. It comes down to how can we commercially rape this culture?
True, but this is definitely derailing from Samantha's original point.
And which was she wants to make fun of every race equally. We got that.
At least... correct me if I'm wrong, Sam, if I got this incorrect or not, but my understanding of your point is that in a time when racial and ethnical... sensitivity is so high that it should be okay. Thank you, movie guy.
You're welcome.
That it shouldn't be okay to use stereotypes upon any of these holidays to represent them.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Bryce is just completely trolling you.
That's okay. But in that respect, though, if I'm understanding correctly, that's what you're talking about. Where?
Yeah, because if... Sorry, I gotta plug in my computer. Because if, we're celebrating Cinco de Mayo, right? If all the newscasters all across the United States decided to paint their face like sugar skulls and do the news, there would be a gigantic outcry.
Well, that'd be the wrong holiday.
Sensitivity, there would be a huge issues if everyone decided to, if Chinese New Year comes around and everyone talks in an accent and, goes on national television and talks in an accent like they do on St. Paddy's Day, there would be a huge outcry of that's culturally and racially insensitive. Why is it okay for other races? Why is it not okay to do that to other races? Why is it okay to do it to a white race and their history and culture?
I have a question for you, Sam.
Because we're not perceived to have history and culture.
Right. I have a question for you, though. The people that were talking to you in an Irish accent on St. Paddy's Day, were they white?
No, that was just an example of what I saw on the compilation. All the newscasters. No, there was white and black doing it.
Okay. So I see where your point is at this rate. Now, to be fair, it's kind of hard when you really think about it, because a lot of the times, for the most part, white guilt on a lot of people's ends is what stops them from getting butthurt about it, because then it gets thrown back in their face as, well, you know, you guys used to do this, this, and this, and this, and this, and it's like, well, okay, so most of the time people tend to just bite their lip and say, all right, yeah, fuck them, I guess we all sound fucking Irish today. You know, but
that's also a problem.
Ah, it is, but at the same time, that's one of the contributing factors as to why that ethnic sensitivity tends to fall to the wayside when you're talking about white people in general. Because a lot of the time, like I said, people will kind of, well, feel like they don't have the right to get butthurt. You know what I mean?
I totally agree. I think that's the biggest reason. And again, we're not perceived to have a history or a culture in these countries that we have all come from.
Right.
And that is also perpetuated with the whole entitlement, entitled age of, you know, the millennial, maybe not millennials, but what's the one after millennials? All these like entitled kids coming up right now, is they don't want to learn their culture or history. They just want that immediate gratification of, well, I just, whatever. It's just, I'm just going to drink on this day because I was told to, and I'm going to wear green because it's like totally my color.
I like how this example sounds very California.
and this is going to be a very broad statement, but maybe as white people, as a whole, we should just shut the fuck up until we can stop bashing on every other race. I mean, in the last 1,000 years, white people have really fucked up the world.
And I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm not saying that that's
hold on.
Problem. Well, but it's everyone. It's not just white people. That's the thing that it is a part of my point as well, is equality needs to happen. White people, we do not have to lay down and discard our cultural backgrounds out of guilt.
Right.
We don't. We shouldn't. Everyone needs to start treating each other equally, regardless of your background and regardless of how long something was bad for.
True.
Yeah, but the problem with that whole mindset, though, is, you know, and I've run into this with more than a couple of people that you know, ironically enough, are, you know, all white, that seem to think like, well, there's no such thing as white privilege. There's no such thing, you know, as the 7th and 3rd. I'm just like, If you truly believe that in your heart of hearts, then that's proof positive that you've never had to deal with what it's like to be on the other side of that coin.
True.
You know, you don't have to worry about if there's a cop behind you, whether or not you're going to live to be able to see your family when you get home. You're not going to get drug out of your car and humiliated just because you don't happen to be lily white. You know, usually what happens if a white person does get pulled out of their car, then it's automatically like, you know, well, I have rights and this, that, and the other. Like, we're the only ones that can get away with saying that.
No, I know. You know, no, I agree. Those are things that need to change too. And there's no great way to make this change. But another thing is, if it seems like if you're white and you're speaking out against racism and you're standing up for another culture or background, people don't look at you like you're trying to do something good. They look at you like you're trying to do that because of your white guilt.
Yep.
So we're not even seen as, and these are just general terms. I'm not saying this is right. Everyone. This is just broad strokes.
And those are the same people, like I just said, that, you know, anytime that topic ever comes up, then they're just like, well, I'm white and I've never felt any kind of real privilege or whatever. But at the same time, you know, for all the things that we have done as, you know, a race to so many others, to the Irish, to the Chinese, to African Americans, to every other race that wasn't us, what have we really done in regards to making amends for those atrocities that we had wrought upon all these other people that wanted to come to this country all under the guise of, like, well, bring us, you're tired and you're hungry, but make sure they're fucking white. That's the one thing. We gotta put that on there. Oh, we don't have any room left on the statue? Okay, well, we'll just leave that part out. But when they get here, we'll let them know, and we'll give them nowhere near the same level of chance that we are just born into and have.
But does that make it okay to make fun of someone's culture and background?
No. Well, like your initial point is, it's not okay to do that to anybody.
Right.
But the thing is, we've done it the most to the most people and have never really apologized for it. And so, like you said, whenever someone does try to stand up for a race that isn't white, they're viewed as, well, you just got this white guilt problem. Well, to be fair, you might need to have a little bit. Because maybe that humility will let you understand that what we've done for all this time isn't, you know, okay by any stretch of the imagination. And just because, yeah, well, I never owned any slaves, like, well, that's fan-fucking-tastic. You know, it doesn't change the fact that these things were done, and you're not doing anything except for going on Facebook and shooting down other people that are trying to make some kind of a positive change and extend some kind of olive branch and understanding and open-mindedness. But again, as Samantha said, you know, young kids nowadays, these young kids nowadays with their long hair.
I have long hair.
It's been about 13 minutes since there was a joke. I had to throw something out there.
Fair enough.
But no, like, they don't really give much of a shit because they've just been programmed into a certain way. And people, you know, specifically of the Caucasoid, you know, demographic, are one where they feel so untouchable. You know, like the whole, like, if you want to live in America, learn to speak the language. You're like, oh, so you know Navajo? You know,
and our horrible government society right now, government culture right now, does not speak highly, which makes it even harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
There are two ways in which we fix this problem, and it's not going to be overnight. It's going to take a long time.
Kill all the white people. I see where you're going, James, and I'm on board.
You jump off your stool first, Jim.
Okay.
I'll kick it out from under him.
One, two.
Oh, you didn't do it.
Pussy.
You suck.
No, he did. He landed on me.
As a white person, I feel like it would be white entitlement if I killed myself. Someone from another nationality would should have killed you. I feel so.
I mean, that is fair.
I'm off white. I'll kick the stool out from under you, Jim.
Thank you. No, we need Olive Tope. Or what was it? What was your porn name? Ivory Beige. Yeah, I need some Ivory Beige.
So,
but yeah, that's kind of my two 2 cents.
No, I think we started here by having the conversation. That's one way. There has to be a conversation about it. And then the other way is, and we've talked about it for so many things on the show, the education.
Yeah.
Learn the actual backgrounds behind some of these holidays that we do celebrate. And maybe
learn
change
the history
the perception.
Of the culture.
Yeah, learn the perception of what it means to celebrate it. You know,
the Irish, during slavery, you know, Irish folk coming over here, you know, to the U.S., taking up jobs, were seen, like, the Irish were treated and seen just as poorly. And there was actually, and people are going to hate me saying this, but there was a lot of white Irish slaves working alongside those fields, too.
All right. Well, and that's one of those things, too, where it's like, you know...
I know a couple of years ago.
Right, but it's something that has never really been brought up. I mean, let's be fair, racism...
because white people are still having a problem with black slaves.
Well,
no one wants to discuss the fact that they had white slaves, too.
Well, no, here's the thing. This was something that kind of put things in perspective for me. When I was in high school, I was researching the Black Plague. Because it fascinated me that this virus bacteria could just obliterate 2/3 of the world.
And you were developing a new strain.
Ooh, that's true.
No, yes. Yeah.
But the thing about it was...
Better, faster.
Yeah, exactly.
disease.
Well, the thing about it was that I came to understand was, you know, for as terrible as people have known in the past that white people have done, just in general to other cultures and other races... We've been equally horrendous to ourselves.
Yes, we have.
And that's the thing. It's like it gets subdivided. I mean, during the plague in Germany, they dug a giant hole in the center of town, filled it with scaffolding, and marched the Jewish people of the community into said scaffolded pit and lit the fucking thing on fire. Because they were under the impression, since Jewish people bathed, you know, fairly regularly, and were less likely prone to catch this shit because they, you know, would clean, that it was their fault. So we offered up the Jewish people as a sacrifice to try to stop the plague. It didn't do anything. It was just being horrendous because they were Jew. And that's one of those things, too, where it's like the Crusades we've led in the past, we walked through white countries to get to the browner countries to decimate everything. Religion in general has subdivided white people for centuries, and because of it, we've done numerous amounts of damage to ourselves as well as others. And that's something that I wish people would take into consideration. Don't get me wrong, white people in general nowadays, yeah, we kind of have shit on lock in comparison.
But
it's
that's kind of
something to take into consideration.
Power thing. It's those with power and those who do not have power.
True.
I feel like racism is, in regards to human history, kind of a new thing.
Kind of, but not really. Because honestly, I mean, everything
it's evolved.
Yeah, and it became much more widely known about. And, I mean, you think about the Vikings who came down to England. I think it was... Oh, fuck.
Vikings didn't give a shit.
No, 793, they first struck land in England, and they just pillaged their piddly little hearts out. And they would go to monasteries because monasteries had money. Mm. And they would take the monk slaves because monks didn't fight back. So they would take them with them. And if the boat was too heavy, they would chuck the fuckers off the edge of the boat. White monks. White Vikings.
Yeah, but Vikings, much like the honey badger, don't give a fuck.
No, and that's the thing, though. It's like, but these are two...
But it's, again, it's... Vikings had strength, monks did not.
In all fairness,
villages
they
went to...
where they went. They just picked their targets because they didn't fight back.
Yeah. But again, it's those who have power, those who do not. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not really a race thing. That's a power thing.
No, but it became a race thing much later on, just like you were saying. It is somewhat of a recent thing, but not really, because you look at every kind of tribe or country, like Japan versus China, for instance. Very similar in their tone skin, except for your South Polynesians, which tend to be a little darker. Japanese people, for couple thousand years thought Chinese people were less than a dog. They just
they didn't like Koreans either.
Yeah, they just believed that their race of people was beneath them.
That's more of a culture of people, Japanese versus...
But it was a race.
The race is Asian across the board. But it goes back to what you were saying about white people doing horrible things to other white people, Asian people doing horrible things to other Asian people, Latinos doing... I mean...
Yeah, absolutely.
And
but,
but
we brought people here to make them, you know, do horrible things to them.
But again,
and that's
to do the work that we didn't feel like doing.
But that's an American thing as opposed to a white thing.
But at the same time, that wasn't the first incarnation of slavery.
No, and I'm not arguing that. And, but I'm saying the
how many black people were on the Mayflower? Not a whole lot of.
The question you need to ask that question even further: how many black people were in England at the time that the Pilgrims decided to get the fuck out?
But more so than
to
that,
to start their own country.
The Mayflower didn't make it to America.
Swing and a miss. So I mean,
Columbia, and there's a place called America, Columbia.
What are you gonna do? Yeah.
Yeah, but the Mayflower wasn't being sailed under Columbus, idiot.
If you're gonna be a dick, this can't
I know,
be a
and I really shouldn't be given the rant that I've got. So,
well,
Jim, I will actually apologize.
That's fine.
But it's.
I forgive you.
Aw, you're such a big guy, Big Jim.
Yeah.
Big heart. All heart.
He's going to shit on me later, but I know it.
Probably.
And I deserve it.
Yes, you do.
Because I have Big Jim guilt.
As well you should.
As well you should. Shame on you, sir.
Bryce, back me up on this. Thank you. That cackle. Thank you.
Validation is yours, my friend.
And this is, I think, part of the problem is the point that Samantha is trying to make. It's a hard one to really kind of hone out. But we keep kind of spiraling off into this, that, and the other, and that's really the main problem that comes with this. Because immediately, as soon as that finger of responsibility gets pointed in one direction. Immediately, it's like, well, what about these people? What about those people? No, well, we're talking about us.
We're talking about people. And I think that's the point.
All men are created equal. Not all men are created equal. At least that when that letter was written.
See, I think that is the point, though, Jim. There are so many aspects to this problem. There's no one solution, which is why the conversation needs to be had and why we need to educate.
Right.
I mean, the five of us here are. While we're not the brightest crayons in the box, we're all fairly smart.
Aw, thanks,
yes,
buddy.
Yes, it's a very small box.
I'll take that compliment because it's probably the only one I'm going to get.
I consider us all to be fairly smart, and we are all a little bit smarter in certain aspects when we have conversations like this.
Right.
And that intelligence comes out during the conversation.
Except for Bryce, he only just cackles.
No, when Bryce makes a point, he drives it home, so...
Yeah, I feel like Bryce is winding up for a good point here.
Now we got the build-up.
Don't put that expectation.
You'll be sorely disappointed.
Don't info-shame him.
Info-shame him.
I really just feel bad because he hasn't gotten to say much, so...
Oh, that's fine.
No, see, the thing about Bryce, and because Bryce hasn't been on the show as much as we would all love him to be, when Bryce does make a point, we all kind of shut up and listen, because when he does talk, it's usually pretty poignant.
Well, Bryce, do you have a thought?
Don't put that pressure on him, man.
I'm putting it on him.
Bryce, I'm backing you up.
He's not going to kill me, because if he does, he has to do my job. So I'm safe. Exactly, see?
Bryce's
job sucks.
Bryce's buildup sounds a lot like a bolt getting loaded into a rifle. So
a magazine of smaller guns getting loaded into a bigger gun
that shoots knives.
Shoots guns.
Yeah, with knives.
The little guns shoot swords. Yeah.
So Bryce, you have a very distinct heritage. Is that correct? Bryce Wolf.
I am here, and I am German, mostly, predominantly.
Me too.
Okay. Because I'm part German, part, I don't know, fucking, I'm like that mutt at the pound that always just goes, oh, he seems kind of cute, but I'm not going to bring him home. He's going to chew on the fucking, you know, furniture.
He's going to piss on the carpet.
I was just going to say that. Lord knows yeah, what he does with meat.
My reputation walks in the door well before I do. So.
Much like Samantha's ego.
I'm pretty sure I'm predominantly German. Not sure what else I have.
I want to do like the 23andMe, you know, where you spit in the tube and send that off. I think that'd be really fun. But from what my family has said, I'm like the whitest. I'm the whitest of white.
Samantha, I did that test through Ancestry. And it kind of pissed me off because honestly, well, when I was a kid growing up, you know,
because
my grandfather.
Because they told him he's got no roots.
None whatsoever. No, my grandfather on my mother's side is from Mexico. His whole family grew up in Mexico. So I was like, ooh, cool. I got some Mexican in me. My grandmother from Sweden, my other grandmother from Germany, and my grandfather on my father's side, we didn't know because he was adopted and those information papers went to the ether. So I did that test. And my wife did one at the same time. So hers comes back a nice color wheel, you know, because they give you a pie chart saying the different sections that you belong to. Yeah, my
turns
fucking chart
related.
Came blue. My chart came back fucking blue. I am 90% German, French, Swiss. I am more German than people who live in Germany and have for the last 100 years. It kind of pissed me off. I have less than 1% of just about everything else, including Native American, Southern North America. I have less than 1% of that. I have 3% Irish, which was the second largest aspect of me. Everything else was less than 1%. Less than 1% Swiss. Less than 1% Britain.
That's really funny.
So I am.
That's a part of the stereotype card. German. But were you drinking a German beer?
No. That was the thing. It's like no German beers. I mean, I even followed the instructions through and through. It's like I didn't eat shit all fucking day long.
He was eating a big old bratwurst and.
Yeah, just sucking on sauerkraut, you know.
Listening to Kraftwerk.
Rocking out to Rammstein. Yeah, because Rammstein, you know, totally does it. But still, it was like, I did that test.
Practicing this goose step.
And it drove me nuts. It kind of drove me nuts.
I'm super curious, because like, what my family has told me, where I'm Irish, Scottish, Welsh, German, Slavic. My mom keeps saying no to the Welsh, but I keep forgetting what she's trying to replace it with. But that's what it, so I'm like the whitest of white of white.
Mom, we can't be Japanese.
So, but in my family, there was an affair with the Jewish man in there somewhere, potentially. My grandmother and her sister
one?
Were both adopted. Yeah, just one. My grandma and her sister were both adopted, so and they have no idea who their parents were, what their heritage is. And a couple generations back, there was a doorstep baby.
Uh-huh.
So we really have no genuine clue outside of Irish, Scottish, German, Slavic.
Right.
Because that's my dad's side.
Again, it's kind of fun, but at the same time, just be prepared. You might be disappointed, like I was.
I want to say there was an NPR thing, like on Radio Lab or something, where they did it, and they found out that it wasn't really that accurate.
Oh, really? That's disappointing.
But how can you fuck up 90%? 90%! I mean, come on. You gotta... You know, if your accuracy's off, maybe it would have been like 85%.
Here's the thing, Dan. We had our cameras go backstage and follow it, and it turns out what happened is they dropped your test
right into a bratwurst.
And
Jim.
And they decided.
What did you do to my bratwurst?
Instead of admitting they made a mistake, they just sent you a blue card.
Dude, well, that was the thing. It's like I had like this small little wedge on my fucking pie chart that was all of the less than 1%. So I had 0.5 Great Britain. I had 0.5 Swedish. I had 0.5 fucking Native American. I had 0.5 South American. I had 0.5 Moroccan. I mean, all these different little small little tidbits. And boom, 90%. Are you fucking kidding me? It's like
Democrat.
Well, and the thing about serious, man.
I did not believe an interracial, you know, plane.
Dude, I was making jokes with my wife because it showed it on the map, you know, where the blue area comes from, and I was like, holy shit, my family must go back beyond the plague, and my family just ran around the map. No, 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 no. Just running around those
it's
three
everywhere!
Countries.
It's everywhere.
And just kept running through the three. And it's like, dude, that's the only way I can figure how I have that much of one solid area. I mean, my grandfather, like I said, he's a fairly light Mexican now, but when he was younger, he had a nice dark complexion to him. My grandmother, she was, you know, she's Swedish. You can tell. My grandmother on my father's side, hard German. Talk like a sailor to her. God, I love her.
You heard him.
But my grandfather, I only got to meet him once, and my father didn't get to meet him until he was like 27. We always.
The name of the show is Hard German.
Hard German. Hard!
With like seven H's, so
we
it's
go
hard!
But, you know, and. But my grandfather on my father's side, we always pegged him for Italian. And so, you know, wasn't quite sure where we were coming from.
The color of his skin, way to go.
Actually, we judged him by the look of his nose, widow's peak, jawline, and height.
Widow's Peak means Transylvania, so you're part Dracula.
I thought so, too, but apparently that's not accurate.
Dracula!
Vlad the Impaler.
Edward Cullen, I don't know which.
I love how you guys are trying to do Dracula and it just sounds Russian.
Well, because Vlad the Impaler was, you know, Romanian.
Vlad Tepes, hell yeah.
Sorry.
That's
where Dracula comes from,
Russia,
yo.
Though.
They have that very strong accent, very similar. God, you uncultured jerk.
Vlad the Impaler also helped make Serpentor, so let's go ahead and put some, you know, some points on that mark.
Some kudos. And brownie points to him for doing what I do
I'm
with
sorry,
spiders,
wait, I,
leaving
I know
corpses
I misheard
to
you,
scare away
Jim,
the others.
Did you say Flab the Impaler?
That sounds like a really flab. Gross point.
That is your super villain.
Flab the Impaler. That's Ron Jeremy's handle.
Flab the Smotherer.
It was Vlad's brother. Slab the Smotherer.
Slab the Smotherer and Flab the Impaler.
Flab the Flapper.
Flab the Flapper. It's very popular in the
20s. Look at my large furry chest. Look at my large furry chest. Come, you will be lost in the thicket.
And he went Middle Eastern.
it's like very thick forest.
And now we're doing exactly what Samantha was talking
about
at the
all
beginning
saw.
Of the show.
But
nice circle round.
Believe in the power of comedy and comedy to bring people together.
True.
I do believe we should all be able to poke fun at each other on a level that we can all get behind. Like, I make fun of white stereotypes all the time. I am the white girl that will go shark diving, and I've done it before. I'll go poke the bears out in the wild. I'm that white person. I am that stereotype to a T.
You're the go upstairs in a horror movie white girl, aren't you?
No.
No, I actually know for a fact she is. Because she told me this. When we were living in Montana, she was out jogging.
Oh my God, that's
right. And she was out jogging, and she heard a noise in the woods. And instead of just keep going, she was like, I must go investigate that strange noise in the bushes in the dark.
Yep.
And in my head, the whole time, I was like, this is how white girls die in horror movies.
Yes.
Not just horror movies, but like real life.
That too, yeah.
The only thing that would have made it worse is if there had been a trail of candy.
Go for it, big guy.
Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy. Did I ever tell you guys about the time my friend and I got trapped in a cemetery?
Trapped in a cemetery.
We were trapped in a cemetery.
Shut up, this is going to be good.
We're letting the blonde freak play fly.
I was living in Italy at the time, and my friend and I were going for a jog. Now, we used to do these really long, like, two-hour runs because the beautiful, you know, Italian countryside. And we passed by this, like, marble cemetery at least three times a week, and especially on the weekends. We did the long runs on the weekends and in the early mornings. So we were like, you know, we're not really into this jog today. Let's go in. This is a dude that I was dating, too. So I was like, let's go in and see and take a look around. And it's an all pink and white marble above ground cemetery.
Nice.
And the walls they're not gates, they're walls of the same marble. And they go all, they encapsulate the entire cemetery. So we're walking around, reading the inscriptions, this place is gorgeous, it's really clean. And I'm like, yeah, cool. So we go all the way up the back and back around, and the gate is closed and chained shut.
Womp womp.
And we're like, oh, fuck. So what the hell are we going to do now? No one knew we were
turned out at Danny. We turned out at Danny for a comforting word. Womp womp. Sorry about your luck, bro. Sorry about your luck.
What, you never heard of the fence before?
Fucking white people, fuck, man.
Dude, seriously.
But the guy I was dating was like pure Mexican. So he was right along with me. In fact, it was his idea. So people knew better.
You would think. I'm surprised he wasn't worried about El Cucuy.
So,
the Mexican goat sucker?
No, that's a chupacabra.
No, El Cucuy is basically the boogeyman.
Yep. So that's probably who closed and locked the gate. But we were like, oh, fuck. So we couldn't squeeze it out the gate because the chains were so tight. And so up over the marble wall we had to go. So he had to – I was waiting for to hear, like, of, like, marble openings. I'm like, oh, shit.
Because this is Thriller.
Thriller night.
So he had to boost me up under the marble wall, and I was – like slung over it so I could then help him get up, and then we got out, and then and then we would continue our jog. Like, what the fuck? How did that get closed? That's like
you weren't supposed to leave.
I've never heard of.
Another question. Jogging, and a donkey was hiding in the bushes, and I ran right by it, and it went right next to me, and I jumped a million miles in the air, scared the ever loving shit out of me. Anyway.
So, Jim, you had a question for me?
Yeah, I had a question for, like, the past 10 minutes, but I can't seem to squeeze in here. So, you had the DNA test done. How much did that cost? That's my main question.
$100
$100
Each.
Okay.
Yeah,
so, Josie
Danny's
and I spent $200
Got that kind of cash just laying around.
Well, it took us a couple of months to save that shit up, because my wife has always wanted to do it, because she doesn't know her real father. And so she was curious to find out how truthful her mother has been, considering the fact that she's never really given her information. So she wanted to check her genealogy to kind of get a foothold whether or not what her mom was telling her was even remotely based in truth. And I wanted to do it just because I was genuinely curious.
Because I've also wondered the same thing, because one of my cousins he's very adamant about, like, developing a huge family tree. And he's doing it the old-fashioned way. He's you know, you go to his house and there's, like, that, like, the yarn with, like, the push pins, and, like, okay, so we came from here.
Are we sure he's not there. A serial killer?
I thought you were gonna say. I actually thought you were gonna say selective breeding program, but okay.
A selective breeding.
A big
killer.
Gym doesn't happen by accident, you know.
It's true. We are a rare breed. I am of the staunch belief that I'm not actually human. I'm actually an angel sent down here to help you mortals, so that I will one day get my wings, and I'll hook up with some weird old bearded guy with, like, a Chicago Cubs hat, and the two of us will just drive around until I find that highway.
That's George Burns.
No, that's Michael Landon. Landon.
Respect you for that, you know. Cheating bastard.
I had
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to throw some shade on Michael Landon for a hot second. I don't think it was really so far, so I'm sure you have to say it's far more intelligent.
ML for the win.
Not really. I had an ex who was...
Oh, was it Olive Loaf? Please tell me it was Olive Loaf.
No, Olive Loaf.
Loaf. He was a psycho alcoholic.
Oh, this one's new.
Yeah, I don't remember the tales of psychoalcoholic.
I remember Olive Loaf.
We all remember Olive Loaf.
Your boyfriends have the most amazing nicknames. It's
psychoalcoholic is a special one. Okay. But he was asking me to get back together, and I was living in Korea at the time, getting ready to get out of the Navy. And he was on the phone with them, and he's like, I genuinely believe you're an angel sent from heaven, da 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 da, and like all this stuff. And I was like,
something what a drunk would say.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I was like, that's really sweet, but also really weird. I ended up getting back together with him because I was young and stupid.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, what happened to all this stuff that you told me? He's like, I never said that. I'm like, you fucking psycho.
Eat your olive loaf.
Here's his number.
Actually, I found an old wallet of his in my stuff, and it had a bank card. It was handwritten card number and or account number and his password.
Oh, sweet.
I gave it to my current boyfriend, and I'm like, you can give this to whoever you want. It's so old now. It doesn't exist anymore. But I was like, oh, if this still existed.
What kind of wooden Amish fucking ATM card did you find in this?
I know, right?
It was called the First Bank for a reason.
Because there's got to be a first.
Right.
Well, James, did you have a rant that you wanted to go on?
I did.
Fire!
You guys are going to love this. You all follow me on Facebook.
No.
Whether you actually pay attention or not is up to you.
I prefer the term stalking.
Thank you, Jim. The restraining order is still in effect.
How are those waffles?
They're quite tasty.
That's not even a word.
Twasty. Okay.
That's how good they were. I had to make up a fucking word. So last Thursday, a buddy of mine posted up the cover of Time magazine that showed the students from Parkland who are kind of leading this conversation about stricter gun laws. And I posted up because these kids have really inspired me and given me hope that maybe humanity deserves another chance. These are kids that are finally pulling their heads out of their tablets and paying attention to what's going on. Now, granted, they were forced into doing that by these horrible, horrible things that, you know, they witnessed or were part of.
Should have never had to witness, yeah.
But they're upset now. The whole school shooting thing has been going on for damn near 20 years now, and it's just getting worse and worse, and nothing's being done, and they're quite frankly sick of it. They have been dubbed the lockdown generation.
Pretty much.
All of these kids, not all they've known is a world with mass school shootings. I mean, it's a pretty serious thing, but here they are, and they're ready to make a change. These are kids that are on the cusp of adulthood. They're going to be voting, and even more inspiring, these are kids who will be eligible to start running for offices soon. Maybe it's just city council, but that's where it starts. You know, these are kids who are going to make serious changes. So I posted up on Facebook, I'm inspired by these kids. Within 2 minutes, someone who I care about and respect posted up 7 or 8 tirades about how I should not be looking up to these kids. And the holes that I could punch in every single argument were...
You can drive a bus through them.
Oh my God, yeah.
Has any one of these motherfuckers actually heard a little song by a long-gone artist by the name of Whitney Houston that states, I believe that the children
are our future.
This person has, but this person doesn't care because it wasn't a white person who sang it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Was it a white person that wrote it?
Yes.
Was it a white person that wrote it?
Yeah, I think so.
The song?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
No, not the song. I mean, the white person that wrote the rants on it.
Yes.
Album. Yes.
Of course it was.
Yes.
Interesting that shit, huh?
So let me just kind of break it down, and I'll walk you through it, and then we'll kind of have a discussion over it, because what I'm ranting about isn't the conversation. It's not the topic. It's how it went. So the first comment, the first two comments are tied together, and it was basically, how can you look up to these people, blah, blah, blah. They're just actors being paid, blah, blah, blah. Follow the money.
The money.
To which my response was, do you forget what it is I do for a living? My job is to follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
So, number one, within two comments, this person has insulted my intelligence and my career choice. Jim and Samantha, you guys know how passionate I am about my career. I love what I do. It doesn't pay well. It's long hours. It's often unrewarded, but I love what I do, and I feel very lucky that I've managed to stick with it as long as I have.
You know, I might also be mentally ill, but still, that's
that's a prerequisite.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. You know.
I mean, when you sign up, if you're not mentally ill, they won't let you in.
Yeah, so, Jim.
So the conversation.
What do you see when you look at this Rorschach test?
My dead soul. Hey, you're perfect. Come on in.
You're right for the job.
So there were a number of other comments, most of which I can't remember right offhand, but I poked holes in the argument, thinking we were going to have a nice discussion about the topic.
Nope.
And that was not to be. When I responded to the comments and pointed out the error of the original comments, this person hit back with just diatribe garbage and then started insulting me because they couldn't make a intelligent argument. And that's when I shut the conversation down. I told the person, look, you've insulted me. I want to have this conversation. You said you wanted to have this conversation. I'm willing to learn, so I understand your point of view, so maybe I can make my side better. I can make you understand my side better.
Learn something from one another.
To which the response was, I didn't want to insult you. I'm sorry if I hurt your liberal sensitivities.
Yeah.
At which point I completely shut it down by saying, and I'll see if I can remember my wording, but my response was, you've just insulted me again. The fact that you don't recognize it shows me how disrespectful and insensitive you are. I want to have this conversation. I want to have an intelligent discussion. I'm willing to read what you sent me, because he sent me an article, which I didn't read after this. I'm willing to read this stuff. I'm willing to listen to your side, so I understand where you're coming from. But if all you want to do is insult me, then we can't have a conversation. I have completely lost respect for this person, and it makes it very difficult because this person is in fact family. And
no,
I've had
the word.
And kudos to Bryce, because he was the first one to reach out to me to ask if I was okay.
Brian points for the first.
And that kind of makes me feel good, because Bryce, you are a gun owner.
Yes.
You believe in the Second Amendment. But just like me, you also believe that there is a problem in this country with guns.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm also a gun owner, and I am right along with you guys.
Okay.
I used to own a gun.
We've had this conversation. I'm very much, and I'm going to preface this by saying that I do not own a gun.
Mm-hmm.
But I fully support the Second Amendment, because mm-hmm. I support the Constitution.
First of all, yes, you do, James. I know you do, because you bought Bryce and I similar guns. I have a aerosol that I will keep in the event that paper zombies attack my house.
Those paper zombies are fucked.
Dude, yeah, you got to watch out.
They build their fucking cerebral cortex. I've been trained by the best.
I own a Nerf gun.
That counts.
That counts.
That completely
counts. Totally put somebody's eye out with the Nerf gun.
Yeah.
But,
I support the Second Amendment, and I like the fact that if I choose to own a gun, I can go and buy one. I would be willing to put myself through the classes and go through the background checks because if I choose to own one, I want to do it legally. Danny, I know you and I have had this conversation, and I've had this conversation with a lot of people. Here's where I'm at with the gun debate right now. If people, and we all know people like this, and I don't want to use the term gun nuts because I feel it's derogatory, but I'm going to say gun enthusiasts, keep extolling the Second Amendment, and that is their only argument, along with a gun is for home defense and hunting and don't take away my rights, because if we let them take away our Second Amendment rights, then they'll
where
take away
stop?
More. If you keep harping on that and you are unwilling to come to the table and have a discussion about how to solve the problem, the thing that you fear most is going to happen, because with every school shooting, with every instance of gun violence, more and more people start leaning towards the anti-gun stance. Mm-hmm. And as it stands right now, there are more of them than there are of you.
Yeah.
My hand is up. I have a statement to make.
I will yield the floor, sir.
Thank you. To
the Pennsylvania Senator.
Yes.
Where
the question came from, by the way. No, and I've made this point, too, and I've gotten into plenty of arguments on Facebook with plenty of people about the whole thing, because I'm also on that same page, and especially after that amazing march on Washington. I posted a video of a young girl of 11 years old that is the most articulate, the most incredible speaker I have seen, either adult or child, in I don't know how long. And she made so many powerful points mm-hmm. about the whole thing. And to me, what it boils down to is, look, if you have guns, if you own guns, if you want to continue to own your guns and have more, why are you not the ones in the forefront making it clear that, you know, it's not the gun, you lay a gun on a table, it's not going to hurt anyone. It's the person that picks that up. So if we're all trying to just say that it should be a little bit more difficult for people that are mentally unstable, have a criminal history, that have any kind of instability, that want to acquire a more powerful firearm, then why aren't you the ones championing for that? And the thing, this is a statistic that you can look up, and it is 100% legit. Every time one of these things happens, every time a school shooting happens, gun sales go through the fucking roof.
Yeah. Now, I'm not trying to mass shooting.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say this is any kind of a conspiracy theory, but it's pretty fucking ironic, or not ironic, but it's coincidental, that those two things kind of mesh. And I've known friends, and I went to a school at a time where various public schools, where you actually had, like, you know, auto shop and stuff like that. You could drive to school with a fucking shotgun in the back of your truck, and no one said fucking boo about anything.
Yep.
And you know what? Didn't have any school shootings, did we? No, we didn't. But now, suddenly, hold on, I can hear James drawing breath and cutting me off.
No, I was waiting for you to finish because you're making good points, but I do have an addition to it. So please continue.
A rebuttal.
Put that breath back in your pocket. That's fine. So what it boils down to is a simple fact that, and this is the argument that I got into with this one guy on Facebook, and this is the last time I actually tried to do so, was he's going off on this, that, and the third. He's like, well, you know, guns are everywhere. Like, you know, if somebody wants to, if a bad person wants to get a hold of one, they'll break into your house and they'll steal your guns and this, that, and the other. Okay, well, then, you're not taking
lock them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Lock them up. In my house, steal my gun. I'm going to shoot them with the gun that I'm, that he's trying to steal.
Yeah. So there's that. And there's also the fact that, and the one that actually shut this person the fuck up was, I'm like, so what you're basically telling me is that you're okay with someone that's mentally unstable or has a criminal background acquiring guns. Am I right on that? And strangely enough, that's where the thread ended. And I'm just like, okay, well, I guess I win.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, you know, guns have been around since fucking, the Chinese, when they first discovered, oh, gunpowder, this makes small metal rock go real fast and can, you know, pierce through armor.
Why do your Chinese sound like cavemen?
Cause?
Well, I come from a different land.
Now they're Native American.
That sounded very not caveman.
Oh, dude. If Native Americans had fucking guns, dude, the fucking Plymouth Rock would be a different place.
Well, we wouldn't be here, so, you know.
No, we'd be here. We'd just be a lot browner.
Or maybe we would have more guns. Yeah.
Here's,
we'd be a lot more tan, and we would have a lot less, you know, wild animals running. Anyway, my whole point, this whole thing, simply boils down to the simple fact that if you can't understand that this isn't a problem in this country, you can't understand that there should
be would be willing to admit.
Put the breath back in your pocket.
Suck it up, Cupcake.
I feel you. I feel you sniffing around. You'll have your time. The senator still has some time on the clock. So I'm basically just saying, like, you know, if you can't see that there's that problem, then you should have a fucking psychiatric evaluation. You should be questioned as to whether or not you are mentally capable of having guns. But the NRA, who, I shit you the fuck not, week after, when Columbine went down, they had a fucking rally in fucking the same town.
Yep.
That shit happened. And who opened that shit up but Charlton fucking Heston with his weird ass fucking wooden teeth, like he's a fucking, he's a total fucking reenactor from my cold dead heads. I'm just like, you motherfucker. You know, it just boggles my mind. Like, you know, if you are so adamant about a certain thing, and people are misusing this thing that you're this most passionate about, why aren't you the ones on the forefront trying to make sure that the thing that you're most passionate about is the most protected? Because people, yes, well, people kill each other every day with, like, you know, cars and everything else. Yeah, but you have to get a license to buy that. And when you fuck up enough time, guess what? You have to sort of retake that fucking test. You take a gun test once, you fool the fucking sensors or whatever, and you're fine.
Yep.
Yeah, people are going to see guns, guns are fucking everywhere. I watched Sons of Anarchy the entire series. By all means, pick it up on DVD or just watch it again on, like, the Netflix. I know, right?
Oh, here's your plug. Thank you.
Hey, just got $25,000 from Netflix. So
yes.
So, you know. My whole point is just, like, if this is not a thing that you want to have thrown in your face every single time, not just people, but, like, little fucking kids are suffering from this whole thing, then why the fuck are you not the ones in the forefront trying to make things better? Because as soon as you bring it up, their first argument is, well, you're not taking my guns. Like, well, we can't because you have the fucking guns.
No, see, that's that argument doesn't fly anymore, Jim. Yeah, they have the guns, but if this country decided to take away that right, no one, you either have the choice of handing in your guns and remaining a law-abiding citizen, or you're breaking the law. And guess what? How long do you think someone's going to last barricaded in their house with a single AR-15 or two when a full-force SWAT team...
Boom.
Comes at you. They won't even use drones. They'll come at you. They've got thermal imaging. They know where you are in your house. Plug a few canisters of tear gas and wait your ass out.
Yeah, well, you'd think that, but have you ever seen a show called, like, what was it? End of the World fucking guys where they have, like, bunkers in their house?
Doomsday Preppers.
Doomsday Preppers. Like, the fucking...
Those guys get the drones.
Cool, they can hide in there forever. I don't care.
Well, and that's the thing, too. It's like, if somebody backs themselves into a corner like that, especially with, you know, not the apocalypse happening, it just makes you an easy target. I mean, because...
My basic argument is just, like, if this is the thing that you're the most passionate about, it should be the thing that you know is the most lethal and you know has the means to cause the most harm, and it's causing it almost fucking weekly at this point.
Yeah.
If not...
And Jim,
hold on, I'm almost done. Come on.
Killing me.
Hold it in. Put it in your pocket. That's also a good name for the show. Just put it in your pocket.
keep it in advance.
Take it out of your pocket, right, Jim. Now.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Yeah, that was better. Anyway, just take a moment and understand that these are children that are coming together to fucking, like, make it clear that they're not... They aside from, like, the whatever rock concert that got shot up in Vegas, aside from that, it's mostly schools. So, you know, we've had schools since, I don't know, since the beginning of fucking education.
And we've had guns since...
Yeah.
Clackamas Town Center here.
You know, it's... If you can't get behind the fact that your shit needs to have some serious radical changes...
Lost Jim again.
Was someone calling you, Jim?
Probably getting another call.
He was just about to wrap up his point, too.
Wait, does that mean he yields the floor? Can I make my points now?
No.
Make them quick.
God damn it.
Alright, somebody else tried to call.
Yeah, we figured.
Okay, so it boils down to just simply understanding the fact that these are lives that are being lost, and more tragically than anything else, it's young kids that have nothing but potential and a chance to make a change in this country, in this world, on a grand scheme. And no one seems to give much of a shit about the fact that these are the ones that are losing their fucking lives. And every time the subject comes up, it immediately gets tossed into the fucking chasm of, well, you're not taking away my fucking guns. I'm like, can we just make things a little bit more difficult? Jim Jeffries, amazing comedian, has this whole amazing rant about how, like, you know what? I only have this gun because, you know, I keep it for home protection. I'm like, you know, really? Is it called a protection rifle? No, it's called an assault rifle. So you're buying this gun because you want to assault something.
Right.
It's out in the middle.
I'm going to have to be that guy. It's not an assault rifle, technically.
And AR does not stand for assault.
It stands for Armalite.
Yes.
But still, the fact is,
My basic point is just the fact that, like, you're not... If you go out in the middle of the woods and you want to blow up a fucking TV or shoot some pumpkins or some cans or whatever, fucking have at it. Because you're responsible, you're fucking... You care about other people's lives, and you just want to keep your fucking target practice on point. That's great. That's fantastic. If you're safe and responsible, keep doing that. But don't keep ignoring the fact that so many other people are taking these same, you know, privileges that are allowed with the access to these weapons and using them to make people's lives disappear. And that's not fucking cool to me.
Right.
And that's where I'll leave it. James, you can breathe now.
Oh, thank God. Jim, you nailed half of the point. There is a mental illness issue, and it comes down to the fact that we as Americans just don't want to deal with it. This mental health issue has been going on for decades now, and we would rather ignore it and hope it goes away than deal with it. Well, the problem is now those people who have mental health issues are getting weapons. And that's not cool. But there's another problem, and I think this might be where I kind of piss off Bryce. So, Bryce, I'm just going to apologize now. The fact of
you
the
matter... You know he knows where you live, right?
I know, but see, here's the thing about Bryce. We can disagree and still respect each other. And he can make his points, too, because... If nothing else on the show, it's equal opportunity for all of us to vent our opinions and have this discussion. And maybe if more people had a discussion like this and gave other people a chance to express themselves and actually listened,
right?
Maybe this problem, we could find a solution.
Here's hoping.
But unfortunately, the world at large doesn't work like this podcast, and it's kind of sad, but also kind of good because
we're terrible.
I've listened to some of our podcasts. And,
I can tie this all together real quick, and it comes a lot back to the fact of, you know, whatever privilege you may or may not see yourself as having. Basically, how this whole thing kind of shakes out is the fact that I've had this privilege of being able to go out to some gun show and buy whatever, you know, former, you know, military-esque type of weaponry. That really, there's no reason really to have it except for the fact that you want it.
And
so
that's...
As I stated before, if you do it safely and properly, in the proper context, and there's no problem whatsoever.
Well, Jim, that's actually something I brought up before to James when we were talking about this. One of the points of view that I come from a lot, you know, we were all kind of going around talking about which ones of us actually own weapons or had owned weapons in the past. My theory on it has always been that when it boils right down to it, some people get too defensive about the idea that it's for their own protection. Because when it really boils down, it's for your own personal reasons that you want it. It's a thing. But it's a powerful thing. It's a symbol of strength. It's a symbol of authority over others. It's that ability to hold someone's life within an inch of your finger. And yeah, that's one of the things that I think bothers me the most about this whole situation is those people who will always run up on the mountain and say, "You'll never take my guns." They're either too concerned about losing that sense of power that they have over this object than they are about actually considering the connotations of the damage it could possibly do. And that's where their mental thought process usually ends up stopping, and that's when they get very, very defensive, because now you're trying to strip away their power, their sense of authority, their sense of strength that they feel they have in the case where they feel they're going to need it. You may never, ever need to use a gun ever in your entire life. You may need to use it two or three times, and I'm pretty sure you're going to hate it every single time. But the simple fact is when we start talking about, you know, these issues in general, when the words gun control begin uttered, that's when people start getting very defensive, and it's because it's an affront to their perception of their own power, their own authority over themselves, over what their life is. And until we can get people to understand, it's like, if you want to collect something because you love it, it's something you enjoy. And don't get me wrong, weaponry over the ages have been masterly engineered. They're wonderful, beautiful works of art for what they are. But when it comes right down to it, it is a possession. But it's a powerful possession. That's why people get so hung up
on
these.
It's a powerful possession with a lot of symbology attached to it.
True, there is that.
Did you just say fucking symbology?
Yep.
Yes, he did.
Boondock Saints improperly? Symbolism? I think it's the word that you were looking for. Really? Get me a fucking bagel. And a fucking coffee. Cafe latte. Twist of lime.
See, I told you he was going to shit on me.
But you see where I'm coming from with it, and it's one of the reasons why this topic is, it's basically like a red hot poker that you don't really win no matter what way you grab it. It's going to burn someone in some way, somewhere, and getting people to get past that initial defense mechanism is incredibly difficult, which is why the conversation tends to stray off in other directions, is because people don't like talking about it because it does make a lot of people defensive. And just like we were talking about earlier, I mean, in the respects of white guilt, we're also considering the notion of how do we tell someone that they don't have the right to protect themselves? Well, that's not the topic we're talking about, but that's how they feel about it. And that's one of the big issues we run into, is not understanding our nature.
It comes
down to what I said earlier.
That's my two cents.
We are at a point now.
Moment, real quick, Danny. Respect you. Appreciate what you just said, because what you just said was 100% fucking legit across the board. I agree with you. Whatever you just said.
Hand raised. Okay.
With everything you just said, not just with whatever you just said, because I just realized that none of that. Whatever you just fucking said, I don't give a shit.
Whatever.
Unfortunately, I must acquiesce this.
I was actually going to say we need to wrap this up, and I just want to make one quick final point, and then we'll table this discussion for another time. It comes down to what I said earlier. We are at a point now that if gun enthusiasts cannot step forward and admit that, yes, there is a gun problem in this country, that then that conversation can't be had. And the thing they fear most, having their right to own guns taken away, is going to happen. I don't want to see that hope happen. I don't think any of us here want to see that happen. But the discussion has to happen.
Agreed.
Bryce?
Yes.
You sounded like you had a thought.
No, he was acquiescing.
I must leave. So.
All fine.
His wife's home. His kid's spitting up, and his diaper's full. Bryce's, not the kids.
We'll table this for now. And then,
I have no doubt that we are going to revisit this conversation many, many times because it's such a prevalent topic. You guys, really good topic today. We actually sounded smart.
I will say this before we actually, officially close up the show. I kind of feel like this is like one of the most intelligent conversations and open-minded conversations about this topic than I have ever actually seen on any kind of major social media or the bunch of five different people with several different viewpoints on how this topic should be rectified. And I'm honored to actually have this conversation with you guys because we can not only make it funny, but we can also make solid points on both sides. So,
and doesn't it make you a little sad that no one will hear it? Guys,
that's
I.
Be ahead of our time, James. They'll hear it
20
years from now.
And they'll be like, "Ah, oh, fuck, we."
If only we'd listened, we'd still have the right to own guns.
When the aliens with laser cannons come down, there's like they're still using fucking like lead-based fucking bullets.
Projectiles.
Gunpowder? Shit.
Nitrates?
Just like, I don't even know these motherfuckers.
You guys, seriously, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for letting me rant. I love you guys, and I agree with Jim. This has been one of the most enlightening conversations I've had on the subject, and it's because we all have different points of view, and we all contributed respectfully, except for that time when Jim just totally took a shit on me.
You had it coming.
Yeah.
Jim, can I get a second on that?
If I hadn't insulted him earlier, then it would have been,
you know, nice and clean.
Yeah, but
way to fuck it up, dude.
Yeah, well, karma's a bitch. But I tell you what.
Thank you.
My big Jim guilt completely gone.
Oh yeah. Uh huh. Tit for tat. Yeah. All's well.
Okay, guys, we will all talk next week. Thanks so much.
Later.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.